Hi, my name is Matt. I'm an English teacher, and this is a recording of a free lesson that I did recently on whiziq.com. We're using material from the Talk A Lot free spoken English course, which is a free download from englishbanana.com/talkalot. If you'd like to attend the next online lesson, please visit www.whiziq.com/Matt Perland. Okay, so today we're looking at the topic of non-literal English, that is non-literal. I mean English which is not straightforward for meaning, where the meaning is different from the words that we use, for example, idioms, phrasal verbs, slang, and other kind of techniques that we use, which kind of confuses students when they're learning English. I guess when you get to about intermediate level, you've learned most of the vocabulary, that is food and drink, clothes, shopping, weather. You've learned days of the week, months, and all the kind of general vocabulary. And then you kind of realize that you understand the words people are using, but you don't understand what they mean in this order or this context. So you can understand the words separately, but not how they're used, because English people don't speak in a straightforward way. We kind of use a lot of techniques which either hides the meaning or has a different meaning to what you expect. And we're going to look at it now. Let's have a look at this worksheet here. So it's brand new activity for us on Talk A Lot. And we're following a topic of hotel at the moment. We've done a few lessons in the last few weeks about hotel on this topic, and you can download them as MP3s, follow our podcast. And today we've got a role play, so we're going to be reading out a role play. I will ask for two volunteers to read out. And we have to look at it and find 9 different examples of non-literal English. So English which is not absolutely straightforward meaning, like a dictionary meaning. So let's look at the different categories of non-literal English first. We'll spend a few minutes just looking at these 9 different groups here. Okay, feel free to type in the box any questions, or even give examples or give suggestions. So you're welcome to get involved like that. Let's start off with nicknames. Nicknames are names for people which are different from their real name. Can you think of any examples of that? I don't mean something like a username when you log into your Facebook or email account. I mean a nickname that people use every day at work or at school. A short name. So for example, Merv is saying Shorty. So if you're short, you might have the nickname Shorty. Okay, it shows characteristic of your appearance. Bridget's nickname is Titin. Why is it Titin? Can you explain? Dario said his nickname is Kleb. So give some reason why. Why have you got these nicknames? just for example, so they're typing in the box now. It's a name that people call you, but it's not your exact full name or your real name. So Bridget is in a very short way, so affectionate way, Titin. Okay. So it's related to your real name. For example, my real name is Matthew. Only probably my parents would call me that. But most people call me Matt. So they just shorten it like that. If you're called Jonathan, your nickname will become John straight away. Yeah. Dario said he's got this nickname from a book. Yes. So again, yeah, a shortened version of your name, for example, Liz, is nickname for Elizabeth. But also to do with your characteristic, how you look, maybe, like Shorty, or something about you. If you're very clever, you might have a nickname, Rainbox. Usually we get these nicknames at school. So Murph saying, is geek a nickname? No. Geek is kind of a slang word that means somebody very obsessed with technology. And it's not affectionate. It's not very friendly. It's not a friendly name. I wouldn't like to be called a geek, for example. Okay, let's keep going because we've got 9 to do here. Exaggeration. What does it mean, exaggeration? So we're talking, maybe telling a story, and we exaggerate the details, probably for comic effect, to make it funny. It's when we say something is bigger than, worse than. We exaggerate worse than it really is, yeah? And we often hear this on comedy programs. For example, you know, I went out for my birthday and it was the best day of my life, you know, the best day of my life. And really what you mean is, I had a good time, I enjoyed it, but you want to exaggerate to really make it a stronger statement. Okay. Moving on to idioms then. We've got idioms. Can anybody think of a definition for idioms? We've had a look at this recently. Idioms. It's a phrase or a sentence which has a fixed meaning, but it's not possible to work out the meaning from the words that are used. And it's not literally true. So Bridget's saying, my mind is in a whirl. So your mind, it's not a physical thing. It can't literally be in a whirl that is spinning round. It can't do it. Something in a not straightforward way, yes, that's Merv says. Often it's a picture language. It brings to mind something. Good. So Dario's got a good definition here. A group of words which have a meaning not deducible from those of the individual words. For example, if I said to you he was only pulling your leg, It's quite a nice image. It's quite a colorful image. What does it mean? He's only pulling your leg. If someone's pulling your leg, it's not literally pulling your leg, because that would be strange. So this is an idiom which means he was joking. He was joking. Yeah. He was joking. So, for example, he was only pulling your leg. It's a very common phrase we could use for joking. He wasn't serious. Yeah. So we could do many, many lessons and whole courses about idioms, not just one lesson. But why do we use them then? Why would I say pulling your leg and not joking? Why? What's the effect, or what happens? It's colourful, okay, so, but why use that, Merv? Why not just say, literally, he was joking? That communicates my message. I'm able to communicate. No. No idea. Well, it's more fun. It's more colourful, as you say. It's more interesting. It brightens the conversation. It makes the listener maybe laugh or maybe smile. It makes the listener pay attention. So when we speak in using idioms and other non-literal English, our speech becomes more interesting and more natural. So let's put this here: interesting and natural. That's the main two reasons. Okay, going quickly along, discourse markers, any ideas? Anybody? It's a big phrase, discourse markers. It's something, maybe a scary phrase, but it's something simple. No, not introduction to topic, no. For example, if I say to you, you know, I want to tell you, you know, something, you know, really important, I maybe use a pause, little pause, either, for example, well, you know, this kind of thing, which acts as kind of punctuation in the sentence. So sometimes it's not even a real word, but people often use it, like, you know, like, people will often like say this before the keyword. Okay, phrasal verbs, I'm sure we know about them, but can you give any examples or think of any kind of definition? Turn off, yeah. Look after, put in. Is verb plus particle, so that's either preposition or adverb, and it's more informal way of speaking than using a longer verb. So usually a one syllable verb, and again you can't really work out the meaning by looking at the words in the phrase. If I said face up to something, if I face up to something, I I look at it directly. I kind of confront it. And so Bridget's reminding me now her phobia for phrasal verbs. Yes. And it's so hard because you have to learn the phrasal verb and the meaning. You have to just learn them. There's no easy way to do it. It's like learning any vocabulary set. You have to learn two things, the verb and the meaning. And it's not obvious what it is from the words. But phrasal verbs are great because they give a lot of life to our speech. A lot of action, activity. They make it active. If you think about the particles that, like in, out, on, under, after, up, down, it really gives movement or a sense of movement to our speech. Okay, sayings or proverbs. This is something which is a well-known phrase or sentence that has been used for years, maybe for a long time, and it's generally accepted as truth or something which is very useful or something which is very true. I'll give you an example. If we're looking at the sky late at night or in the evening and we see it's red sky, we probably would say red sky at night, shepherd's delight. This means if the sky is red in the evening, the weather should be fine in the morning. So it's good for shepherds everywhere and good for sheep. So Bridget's saying, has typed in, there's hardly room to swing a cat. So this is kind of an idiom again, whereas a saying or proverb has a lesson for us, or advice, or some kind of wisdom, some sort of word of wisdom. Okay. Next one is similes. Simile, it's like the word similar, isn't it? So this is when we say something is like something. Something is like something. Like or as. So yeah, strong as a lion or strong as an ox. Maybe brave as a lion, Merv, and strong as an ox. So these are similes, comparisons of things. I've got an example. Maybe you're in a relationship and it's very difficult. The person is very demanding. You might want to say, you're like a weight around my neck. It might lead to an argument or further argument, but it's a simile. It's not it's not pleasant. I've used it from time to time. So it's not literally true. Nobody is a weight around anybody's neck, really, not literally, but it adds color to our language. And it gives a lot of interest, so it's more interesting. And you find, as a teacher, we find that the work, conversation and written work of intermediate and advanced students is more interesting than that of elementary students, because intermediate and advanced, they're learning about idioms and things like similes, introducing it into their work, and not just following the basic dictionary definitions of everything. But of course this comes with time and with practice, and it's a natural thing to develop. Also, this kind of non-literal English means there are problems for people listening to native speakers, because we're saying all this kind of stuff, and you maybe know the words that we're using, but you don't know these techniques, and we're going to see that in the role play in a minute. So two more to look at here. Swearing. Swearing is bad language, a word or phrase that is considered offensive by most people, and not appropriate in some contexts. For example, in a school, in a lesson. But maybe we can use it if we're studying it. Yeah, it's a word that is a slang word, which is kind of offensive if used in the wrong place. Can you think of any examples? No. We're not going to use them, I don't think, but we could, for example, the F word, we know what it is, that's a swear word, and we can use it to emphasize our feelings about something, yeah? For example, this, the effing something, noun. So it's to make our feelings clear that we're not happy about something, and it has a time and a place, but certainly not when I'm with my grandma. It's not appropriate. So Sam's saying, "Hi Sam, thanks for coming." Sam is saying, "What the heck?" So heck is kind of polite swear word, but the real phrase is "what the hell," yeah. So this is kind of swearing, and it's maybe okay with your friends if that's acceptable in your group where you are. I wouldn't use it with my family, I guess. And last one is understatement. This is a nice technique to use. Also could be, it's a form of irony. Not ironing, that's different. It's the opposite of exaggeration. So something is deliberately said to be less than or less important than it really is. Yeah. Pass away, then, that's a phrasal verb, Merv. Understatement, for example, let's think about a situation. Maybe your boss is very angry, and he comes into the office shouting at everybody, and everybody just stands there quietly listening. Then he leaves the room, and somebody says, "Well, that was nice. Well, that was nice. That was nice." It's ironic. It's irony, and it's understatement. It wasn't nice. Literally, it wasn't nice, but sometimes our reaction is to use understatement, especially English people. It's quite a common technique. So these are the techniques. I hope that's something interesting to learn about today. Now we're going to look at the role play, and you have to try and find one example of each thing in the role play. Maybe you've already found some, but who wants to come on the microphone then and try and read this? We need two people, so put your hand up if you want to do it. We've got two characters here, Carrie and Tina. Tina works in a hotel as a receptionist. Her friend Carrie phones her. So we've got Bridget. I'm going to put you on the mic.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Perfect.
Perfectly.
Perfectly.
Okay. So.
One and run.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You be Carrie and I'll be Tina then.
So I'm the first. Hi,
yes.
Tina. How is going?
I'm fine, you?
Fine. Are you still coming to the party tomorrow night?
I can't, I've got to work. The duty manager's changed my shifts.
What? That's bloody stupid. It's JT's birthday.
JT's
birthday.
I know.
That's absolutely the worst thing that could possibly happen.
And I'm really sorry, but I can't go out on Friday night either.
That's great.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Can you, I know, try and sort something out with your manager?
I'm too scared of him. Today he was walking around like a bear with a sore head.
Right. But maybe you can speak to him.
He told us today that if we don't get more customers, the hotel could close next month.
Really? It never rains, but it pours.
Good. Okay. Thanks a lot, Bridget. Very good. Bravo. So, let's have a look at this. Don't forget that we're using contractions in this speech because it's spoken English. For example, could have. The worst thing that could have possibly happened. We don't need to pronounce could have because they're not stressed. Yeah. Would have, could have, should have. We use this kind of contraction. How's it going? How is it going? Yeah. Okay. So, any ideas then? Let's start with A. Start with nicknames. Where's the nickname? Here. Type in the box if you want. JT. It's JT's birthday. Exactly. Okay. What about exaggeration? Exaggeration. Something that is more than, bigger than, better than. Yeah. Merv's got it. That's absolutely the worst thing that could have possibly happened. You know, the worst thing that could have possibly happened is probably the whole world will just explode and blow up, yeah? That must be the worst thing that could happen. Not the fact that the duty manager changed the shift. So it's exaggeration. It shows her feelings, strong feelings about this situation. Okay? Then, idioms? Idioms? Not easy to find this idiom in this one. Any ideas? Have a look at it. Read carefully. So, not bear with a sore head. That's something else because it's that different type of thing. No. Look in the first line. In the first line. D the duty manager's changed my shifts. No, that's quite literal, isn't it? It's what happened. It's factual. How's it going? How's it going is the idiom here. How's it going? What does it mean? How's it going? It's a fixed, yeah, how are you? Comment ça va, said Bridget, thank you. Hi, Azdegeek, thanks for coming in. So, it's a phrase that has a fixed meaning. It doesn't make sense if you try to explain it. How is it going? What is it? And where is it going? It doesn't make sense. It going? It? But we know this phrase, and we know the meaning is, how are you? Yeah, how are you? How's it? So Sam's saying maybe life, it, how's it going? How is everything going? How is your life? How are things? Yeah. Okay. So it's kind of idiom. What about discourse markers, anybody? Discourse markers. What do you think? You know. So that's there after the pause. You know, can't you? You know. And it's you know rather than you know. It's contraction again. You know. Has no meaning in the sentence. It has no literal meaning. But it's there. It's part of the language and part of the speech. So we've written it down, but it has no meaning. Phrasal verb, can you spot it? One phrasal verb in this text. Phrasal verb. Sort out. Okay, so sort something out. Sort something out. Can't you, you know, try and sort something out with your manager? It gives a nice rhythm to the sentence. What does it mean to sort out? Is there one word verb we could use to sort out? To solve. To solve, or maybe to organize, but in this meaning is solve. Good. Find solution. So some people are saying go out on Friday night, but it's a kind of phrasal verb because it's go out, but it has a literal meaning, so it's not really part of this exercise, because we can work out the meaning from the verb go out. You know, it's quite clear what it means, isn't it? But sort out, then doesn't really, it's not so clear. Okay, sayings or proverbs, so something that is kind of wisdom from the past. What do you think? So the kind of thing we might say, which is an accepted statement. It never rains but it pours. Good. And this is also really a cliche. It's something that has lost its power because we use it so often. Never rains but it pours. What does it mean then? What do you think? Never rains but it pours. Yeah. It's the kind of thing we say when there's a lot of or a few different problems at once. Yeah, Merv's saying all problems keep coming. So, for example, we've got the problem about the shifts, and then the manager was walking around like a bear with a sore head, and then the hotel might close down. So it never rains, but it pours. When it rains, it always rains heavily. Pours, it pours. So this is kind of saying or proverb, and it has a fixed meaning. Okay, never rains, but it pours. What about simile? Where is there a simile? So Bridget's got straight away, she's typed in early, like a bear with a sore head. So Tina says, I'm too scared of him. Today he was walking around like a bear with a sore head. Straight away, in my mind, I can see an image. So I imagine this person, the manager, as if they are a bear walking round with a headache. Yeah. So what do you think it means then? How is the manager behaving? It's a scary image, but maybe as well comic. Behaving like a bear, but in what way? So what mood was the manager in? Or how were they feeling? Rude? Angry. Rude and angry, I think. But somebody is like a bear with a sore head, they're angry. Upset, but most of all angry. Okay. So I could say to you, oh, my manager was really angry today. Yeah. And it's boring, isn't it? If I know I can use this kind of phrase, it's much more interesting. He was walking around like a bear with a sore head, and I get an image of this person, which is really visual, really interesting and colourful. Okay. Good. What about swearing? Where's the swear word here in this text? Did you find it? Swearing. It's not too bad. It's not that bad for a swear word. Bloody stupid. Bloody. That means very stupid. It shows I feel strongly about it. What? That's bloody stupid. It's not as bad as something like the F word. But it's still offensive. I would never say that to my parents or to my grandma. I think she'd be very upset if she heard that. But among your friends, then it's quite common. Excuse me. So some bit of swearing maybe helps, but if you don't know the swear words in English, then you don't know what they're talking about. Bloody, what does it mean, bloody? Well, blood, that's red stuff in our body. So it doesn't make sense, bloody stupid. We have to learn these things to understand what people are talking about. For example, if you went to England and stood at a bus stop for 10 minutes, you would hear this many times, I'm sure, this kind of language among people just talking to friends and talking informally. Okay. And last part, we've got understatement. That is the opposite of exaggeration. So can you see this in the text? Understatement. So Christina is saying, is sharing the fact, my husband says bloody hell. But why does he say that, Christina? In what context? For what reason? Yeah. It just means like, oh no, but very strong version. When something wrong happens, yeah. Or maybe you feel frustrated about something. Oh no, something bad happens. Okay. Understatement. So here there should be somewhere which is understatement. Something which is understatement. Can you see? Where we say the opposite of what we mean. We're deliberately saying the opposite. So it's kind of irony as well. Tina says, I'm really sorry I can't go out on Friday night either. And Carrie says, that's great. That's great. And it's how she says it, her intonation makes it feel worse. Yeah, that tells us the meaning is negative. That's great. Oh. It's the opposite of what she wanted to say, what she meant. Yeah. If she said, oh, that's great, that's great, you know, her face or her voice would have to give the meaning positive. Because she's on the phone, she has to put all the meaning into her voice. So she'd probably say, oh, that's great. Okay. And of course it's the opposite of what she meant. So the next part will be very easy now, because you've done really well here. So the next part is just really replace the non-literal English with one of the literal words or phrases below. For example, these words and phrases here are the kind of boring English, literal. So, for example, instead of using the nickname JT, we could use the real full name of the person, John Timpson. But then we've lost a feeling of friendship, a feeling of closeness or togetherness that we have from the nickname. How are you? Which phrase is this one? How are you? So we've looked at it. Christina said, how's it going? Yeah, how's it going? That is disappointing. Which example was that? That is disappointing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when she says, oh, that's great, what she really means is, that's disappointing. So that's understatement, like Merv is saying, good. Behaving in an angry way. Which one was that? So, yeah, walking around like a bear with a sore head. Mm-hmm. And which example meant to arrange? So it's sort out phrasal verb. Okay, I think we've got almost got it now. But the point is, what you could do next is to do the role play again, but only using literal English. So instead of these kind of things, we're using these parts. Yeah. So you could do the role play like, For example, here, Carrie says, "What? That's really stupid. It's John Timpson's birthday." "I know. That is not very good." Yeah? And then Carrie says, "Oh, that is disappointing." "How disappointing?" Something like that. "Can't you try and arrange something with your manager? I'm too scared of him. Today he was behaving in an angry way." Yeah. And so the idea is we look at the language that is used in real life, which is this kind of language, and then we see the role play with just literal English, which is what we often find in our course books, for example, because we haven't got all these techniques. So, and then compare the two and think about the differences. So when we're using literal English, just literal English, then it's a lot easier to understand. But when you go into the real world and meet real people, they don't stick to they don't stick to the literal stuff. Yeah. Okay. So what can we do from here? I'll put this worksheet on WizIQ probably tomorrow, today or tomorrow, and you could download it if you want to use it. Also, think about these 9 examples of non-literal English, and maybe listen or try and find in print, in newspaper, for example, some examples, some more examples. Yeah. So this kind of thing is what you need to break through at about intermediate level, to really break out of just everyday normal things, you know, "Oh, that is disappointing," and to get into the real, how we really speak. Yeah. So, break through its phrasal verb, yeah. Yes, so at this level then we need to know more about this kind of thing. And of course there are other techniques as well, but these are just 9 to be going on with. And other things people could do, write your own role play with some of these techniques, or with some of the phrases. And that's, I think, that kind of thing. We could go from there. Okay. So, well done today. You've done really well getting that. It's a lot to do in 1 hour. It would be enough just to do study phrasal verbs, yeah? And lots of these things we could class as idioms. But like phrasal verbs are idioms, for example, proverbs, similes. But it's nice to see different groups of things, different categories. Okay, so have you got any examples, any questions now before we finish? Or any more comments? So Bridget's got a good example of exaggeration. "I'm so hungry I could eat a horse." Yeah. But it's so colourful, and also the language makes us smile. And so often when we're speaking to friends, we want them to smile, to laugh, to be happy when we're with them, yeah? And this is a good way to do it. Merv saying, "Are there other examples?" So you could go to English Banana and type in idioms. You'll find some more stuff. But this activity is really very new one, and I'm hoping to include it in the next Talk a Lot series, one for each unit. Yeah. So you've just got one for now in this unit, hotel unit. Okay, so thanks a lot, everybody. Hopefully see you next week.
Thanks for joining us today. To download more free lessons and all of the Talk a Lot materials absolutely free of charge, please visit englishbanana.com/talkalot.